Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word.
We've come to a very exciting study, and our quest for truth as seen here in the book of Acts. We've come to the chapter, Acts chapter 10, which tells us about the conversion of the first Gentile, uncircumcised Gentile. There were devout Gentiles present on the day of Pentecost. If you'll go back and read the text in Acts chapter 2, one of the seven men selected as public servants of the church in Acts 6 was a proselyte. And so he was a Gentile who had been proselyted into the Jewish religion. But here is the first example, and we know they are uncircumcised Gentiles because if you turn the page over to Acts chapter 11, the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God, and when Peter and the other brethren came with him, they made the statement, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Acts 11 and verse 3. So we're learning now about the nature of universal Christianity. Our Lord died for all men, and he wanted all men to have access to the good news of the gospel and to be justified by faith and to be brought into the church of our Lord. And the Lord, when he gave the commission, said, "Go teach all nations. Go preach to every creature." And so here's the first reference, a number of years after Pentecost, of our Lord sending the Apostle Peter as the keys of the kingdom and to open the door into that redemptive spiritual kingdom for Cornelius and his household. And so we're fixing to study that here in Acts chapter 10. The first few verses tells us that by race, this man was a Roman. He was a part of the Italian cohort, as we noticed in our last study. And in his relationship to God, he was most devout. In his relationship to his fellow man, he was very, very generous. Notice what Luke has to say about the man Cornelius, the first few verses of Acts chapter 10. He was a devout man and one who feared, who had deep reverence and awe and respect for God with all of his household. He had taught his family to have this kind of reverence and awe for Jehovah. We would infer that this Gentile man who was a centurion, an officer in the Italian army, that he had learned about the traits and characteristics of Jehovah because of his association with his Jewish friends. He was well known, the record tells us here. He gave alms to the Jewish people, and so he had association with them, and we just gather that he had learned about the nature of Jehovah because of his association with his Jewish friends. The record tells us that he not only feared God and taught his family to do likewise, he gave many alms to the Jewish people. He was very benevolent, very compassionate toward those who were in need. This man, after he became a Christian, did not have to be converted as to the necessity of giving. He was already practicing that. And he prayed to God continually. Isn't that a marvelous trait, that he had such respect for God that he wanted to spend time praying unto him, as perhaps the Jews had three designated times each day for hours of prayer. And the record tells us about ninth hour of the day, which would be 3 p.m. in the afternoon in our time of day, he was praying, and he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come to him and said to him, "Cornelius." Now, a vision is where God made known to the mind, to the understanding of a person, truth, and it becomes just as obviously known to be truth as though you could see it with your physical eye. He was awake, he was praying, he had all of his senses, and yet here is something that the Lord instructed him to his heart, his mind, to his intellect, is a vision. And notice, the record tells us that an angel appeared to him, and the angel of God said, you need to send men to Joppa. First of all, Cornelius said, what is it, Lord, that you want? And he said, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. What Cornelius had offered up unto God reminded God of the covenant that he had made with Abraham many years before, as recorded in Genesis chapter 12. And in that great promise, of course, messianic promise, God told Abraham, in your seed, which is Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God is about to carry out what he had known in his foreknowledge and his foreordination many, many years before. And so the angel said, you need to send some men to Joppa. That's where the Apostle Peter was, if you recall, from our study of the previous chapter. And send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And so when the angel had concluded his speaking, these words to Cornelius, he made preparation immediately. The record tells us he summoned two of his servants. We would probably call them his military orderlies, and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. Notice he had people who attended him, who were under him by way of submission and authority, and who explained to them everything that had been told him. And so the record tells us on the next day they left, probably early on that day. This is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and so they made preparation and departed. And they approached the city where the Apostle Peter was, and now the Spirit, through Luke, tells us about the Apostle. He went up on the housetop. Obviously, they had homes with flat roofs, and they could go up there and get away from the routine activity of the house. And it was the sixth hour. That would be noon in our time of reckoning, 12 o'clock. And he became hungry. It was the appointed time to eat and desiring to eat. And while preparations were being made, he fell into a trance, and a vision was given him. And in this vision, he had the picture of all of the domesticated and undomesticated animals in a huge sheet. In this vision, were let down in his presence, and the voice said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter had been very devoted, of course, to his understanding of what the Old Testament taught, the legal observance of eating only animals that were classified to be clean animals. And now all of a sudden here are animals of all different kinds, and the instruction is just slay any of them or all of them, and you can eat their meat. And this was perplexing to the Apostle Peter. He had not yet been able to grasp the fulfillment of the law of Moses in Christ, the law, and the doing away, the annulling of those legal ordinances and restrictions and commandments. And now we have the new covenant with new privileges, new freedoms that we have in Christ. In Christ, if you'll read from Mark chapter 7, all animals are cleansed. The New Testament, the law of Christ, doesn't make a distinction between clean and unclean. And so Peter was perplexed, and this happened repeatedly, and he was trying to consider the meaning of this great vision that had been sent to him. And at that time, these servants from Cornelius approached his home and inquired if Peter were there. And the record tells us that while Peter was perplexed in mind as to what the vision might mean, the men who were sent by Cornelius appeared at the gate and calling out as to whether Simon was there. And while Peter was still reflecting on the vision, the Spirit, notice, the Spirit didn't say anything to these men, but spoke to the Apostle Peter and said, these men are looking for you. Arise, go downstairs, accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them. Peter received these people, and they spent the night there, and then they headed toward Caesarea, where Cornelius and his family were the next day. And then they approach the city the following day. And beginning in verse 24, we find that when Peter arrived in Caesarea, Cornelius was waiting for them. And he had called together his relatives and his close or near friends. What an example that is for us today. when we know that the good news is going to be presented with regard to salvation, we ought to invite our friends, our relatives, and our close associates to come and to hear the good news. He wasn't commanded to do this. He just knew that here's an opportunity for the message that the Apostle Peter had for them as well as for his own family. And we learn from Acts chapter 11, where the Apostle Peter rehearses to the apostles in Jerusalem the events in orderly sequence as to what took place, as we read here in Acts chapter 10. And he explained it fully to the apostles, and they remained quiet. They held their peace. They then understood that the gospel was to be preached to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. And we would be fellow heirs of the great promise in Christ and fellow members of the body of Christ, the church. Read Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5 and 6, where Paul discusses that. But in Acts chapter 11, the record tells us that the angel told Cornelius, "You send for Peter, who will speak words whereby you and your household can be saved." He had to hear the message with regard to Christ and Him crucified before this man could be saved. And I want you to see again that the man had outstanding traits, and he was a man of tremendous character, moral character, but at best, he was a sinner. He knew that he was a sinner. He obviously was praying, "Lord, I would like to know more about salvation. I've heard a little bit about Jesus. I need to know more." And we gather from the context that the Lord said, "Your prayer is heard, Cornelius. Therefore, send after Peter." I gather from that context that he was obviously praying for salvation and for someone to tell him the message with regard to salvation in Christ. "Since your prayer is heard." So here's an example of a man yet out of Christ whose prayer was heard. Now, he was not praying as a son of God. He was praying for salvation in Christ. If a man is seeking, earnestly seeking for the truth as it is in Christ, God will hear his supplication, and he will enable by his providence for someone to come and to present the message of truth unto him. That's what we're learning from Acts chapter 10. And so when Peter comes into his home, Cornelius realized how great a servant the Apostle Peter was, and so he fell at Peter's feet and worshiped him. It would have been all right to have shown respect for one in authority, but he did not have any right at all to worship him, offer up acts and reverence and praise that belong only unto God. And so Peter, notice, said, "Stand up, I too am just a man." And in a very kind way, he just said, "This type of worship that you've offered unto me should be offered only unto our Lord. I'm just a man. I'm one of the ambassadors for Christ," 2 Corinthians 5, "one of his servants, but I'm just a man." And so they began to talk, and many people were assembled. And Peter said, "You know, I'm now doing what I thought just a few days ago would have been unlawful, to come into a home like this and to eat and to drink with you and to have this kind of association and fellowship. But the Lord has shown me in this vision, and the Spirit telling me to come, that I ought not to regard any man common or unclean." So that helps us understand the purpose for which the vision, of course, had been sent to the Apostle Peter. And so Peter said, I've come immediately. I'm here. And so he now asked, he said, with what intent have you sent for me? He knew, but he wanted to hear Cornelius make that statement. And the man responded, said, "We're all here in the presence of God to hear all things commanded unto you from the Lord." So notice the attitude of Cornelius. He wants to hear the message of salvation and redemption, the joyful, the glad news, the glad tidings that we have in Christ. And so the sermon starts here in verse 35. He said, "I now know that with God there is no respect of persons. We ought not to show partiality. He does not. But in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he, Christ, is Lord, ruler of all." you yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. You remember our Lord was anointed with the Spirit at his baptism. Read Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. And the Holy Spirit anointed our Lord with his power during his ministry. He cast out demons and did all of his works to the glory of the Lord through the empowering, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter said, our Lord went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses. Peter was a selected apostle. He was one who had firsthand information with regard to these things that he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. Notice the cross is presented to Cornelius. The purpose of Jesus' death. The Lord had to become our sin barrier. He was the one who satisfied God's righteousness and justice by taking care of our sins. There had to be a perfect, adequate sacrifice offered before God could grant unto us the gift of life. And so Jesus paid for every one of our sins when he took upon himself the shame and humiliation of the cross. And we are cleansed by his stripes, and by his sacrifice we are redeemed. And so the Lord had to suffer and die. So the cross is presented here. But God raised him the third day and granted that he should become visible. We've already studied from Acts chapter 1 and other references how that Jesus repeatedly appeared before the apostles, proving that he was alive after his death. And so the apostles, notice, they ate and drank with him. The Lord did not appear to everyone after his resurrection. He didn't appear to all the people, Peter said, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, particularly the apostles, the chosen witnesses, that to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who's been appointed by God as a judge of the living and the dead. When our Lord comes one day, he will judge those who will be alive at his coming, and he will judge all the other people who have died. And so he will be the judge of all mankind, the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets, here's the Old Testament reference, bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Here is the emphasis upon faith, trust, confidence, assurance in Jesus. Confidence in the fact that he is the Lord God, the Son of God. You must have confidence in his deity. You must have assurance and belief and trust in his atoning death and sacrifice. You must believe in his glorious resurrection for our justification. And so here is the great emphasis upon having faith in Jesus in order to be saved. Our Lord said on one occasion, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And John tells us that we have the record of all of the things that the Lord taught and performed, even the miraculous deeds. And we have a record of these things in order that we might believe, and that by believing we might have life in his name. John chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31. And so Peter is giving emphasis now to the fact that the Old Testament said only those who have faith in Jesus, those who trust in the Lord, who have confidence and assurance in him, conjoined with obedience, can be saved. Now there are passages like John 1, verse 12 and 13, which teach us that those who received the Lord, those who believed in him, were given the right or the power to become sons of God. You obviously can't become what you already are. Faith doesn't make us, just at the point of faith, a son of God. Faith gives us the power and the right to become sons of God. And when by faith we renovate our thinking through repentance and confess our trust and faith in Christ, and when by faith we're immersed into the death of our Lord, we are promised in that act of faith the forgiveness of sins. And so faith is mentioned, the necessity of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again, everyone who believes in him receives. What kind of believer? We're fixing to see. An obedient believer receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Do you recall from our previous study back in Acts 2 and also Acts chapter 8, that whenever the expression is used here in the book of Acts with regard to the Spirit, that it came upon them or it fell upon them, it always denotes the miraculous empowering from the Spirit and not the indwelling of the Spirit. Every saved person who becomes a saved disciple, a Christian, when by faith he is immersed into the death of Christ, receives the Spirit in conjunction with the words of the Spirit to indwell him as a seal and earnest and proof of sonship. And so at this point, the Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius. Now, turn over a page to Acts chapter 11, where Luke has recorded for us his conversation with the apostles now in Jerusalem. They wanted to know. They wanted to be instructed as to why Peter had gone to Cornelius and preached Christ unto him and had gone in and had social association and communion and fellowship with him. And Peter tells us that Cornelius had reported to him how the angel had appeared to him and told him to send to Joppa. He'll speak words to you that'll enable you to be saved. Verse 15 says, "And as I began to speak those very words whereby he could be saved," go back to Acts 10:43, the words with regard to faith in Christ. "As I began to speak these words," the Apostle Peter said, "the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us, the apostles, at the beginning." Notice Peter takes the apostles there all the way back to Acts chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. That's the beginning place. That's the beginning of the New Testament church. We've got to understand that. If a person doesn't understand the beginning place and what brought it about, he cannot understand the rest of the New Testament. So Peter said, I want you apostles to go all the way back to the very beginning. He said, you remember when we were assembled in one place and there was this huge sound like a mighty rushing wind? You remember when the Spirit filled us and we began to speak in foreign languages? The Spirit came directly without the imposition of hands, without the laying on of hands, came upon the apostles. And that's what Cornelius is saying, or that's what Peter is saying about what happened at Cornelius' house. He said at this particular point in the sermon, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as upon us. Adverb of manner, exactly in the same way. Without prayer and the laying on of hands, the Spirit directly came upon Cornelius and gave him the gift of tongues. All right, let's go back now to Acts 10 and notice the last few verses. "And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter," read Acts 11, and you'll find that there were six brethren who accompanied the apostle here to Caesarea, "they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also." Now go back in your study to Acts chapter 2, and we made reference to Acts 10, verse 45, and we pointed out that the expression poured forth here is perfect tense, and that means a process completed in the past, having present results. So Peter said, "I now remembered. It came to me with understanding. I preached it on the day of Pentecost, that in the last days the Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh." He said, that happened one time for all time. And so he went back to the beginning place and he said the Spirit was poured out, all of the Spirit was sent or given on that occasion, and it has present results. Since the Spirit had been poured forth or sent, the Spirit was available to empower Cornelius as he willed to empower Cornelius directly with the gift of tongues, and the Spirit is waiting to indwell him after he is baptized. And so Peter then understood what had happened completely on the day of Pentecost. Now notice further, "they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God." And so obviously the gift of tongues that came upon Cornelius directly from the Spirit enabled him to speak in the very dialect and the language of Peter and the other Jewish brethren. They knew they were glorifying God because they heard them in their own dialect, their own language. And the purpose for which the Spirit had come upon Cornelius, if you'll read the first part of Acts chapter 15, was to convince the apostles and the Jewish church that God has absolutely no distinction and that people are to be justified and saved by grace through faith and that they do not have to become a proselyte in the Jews' religion in order to be saved. And so that was the purpose of the gift of tongues. And so they heard them speak with tongues and magnify and exalt God. Peter said, can any man forbid the water? And so we find that Peter is now convinced. He had heard them magnify and praise God in their own dialect, their own language. So we know when the Spirit came upon Cornelius, it meant to give him a miraculous gift, and the context says it was the gift of tongues. Read 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul said the purpose of the gift of tongues was to convince the unbeliever. It was a sign to the unbeliever. Now, Peter was a believer, but he did not fully understand and believe that uncircumcised Gentiles were to become fellow members and fellow heirs of the body of Christ, having the same spiritual benefits and blessings just like the Jewish people. And so when all of this happened, the record tells us in verse 47, surely, Peter said, no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And so Peter said Cornelius had received the gift of tongues directly from the Spirit just like we did on the day of Pentecost. Peter said, I'm convinced there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. God wants to save all of them by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. So notice, he ordered them to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Isn't it interesting that Peter said, since you want to hear the words whereby you and your household can be saved, you've got to experience the new birth. You've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. And so the final act of faith that would put Cornelius into Christ was his being immersed in the name, by the authority, into the possession of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now we have seen the nature of universal Christianity. It's for all men. And now the Lord has used Peter to open the doors of the kingdom of heaven unto the Gentiles.
Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven shining forth. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish.